Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Celebrating God, celebrating America. Hi, Alex McFarland here. We've got a great show today. I'm very honored to be sitting in for pastor, attorney, broadcaster Abe Hamilton III on this edition of the Hamilton Corner. And if you've listened to me much at all, maybe it was our AFR show, Exploring the Word, that is heard live Monday through Friday, and now in its probably either 16th or 17th year. And then I have the privilege of being on the Hamilton Corner on a fairly regular basis, and the Lord's allowed me to write a number of books. And much of what I write about are the spiritual foundations of our country. If you've followed my heart communication, you know I love this nation. I mean, I really do. And as we approach our 250th birthday, the guest that we're going to converse with tonight is really the personification of where my heart is patriotically to revisit the spiritual foundations of our nation. And we're going to talk about that, but I want to give a verse, and then later on in the show we'll take calls as well. But in Ezekiel 22, Israel had fallen into great sin, and it so mirrors our day in which we live. I mean, there was immorality, just unspeakable. I mean, you'll have to read it for yourself. Read Ezekiel 22, say 20 through 30, and there was idolatry. There was paganism. There was violence and murder, so much that God called Jerusalem a, quote, bloody city. But then there was incest. There was disrespect and murder of parents. In other words, it was a society that, in many ways like our own, had lost its spiritual foundations. And the Word of God says, I sought for someone to stand in the gap, to intercede, and to call out sin, to speak up truth, that I might not destroy the land. And it says, but I found no one. Now, as we do the show tonight, I'm praying that if the Spirit of the Lord were seeking for someone to stand in the gap, to pray, to get on their knees and intercede, to say, I believe in God and His Word. I'm going to stand for truth. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would find many willing hearts, lives, and voices. And I think after we talk with our guest, you're going to feel very inspired to do the same. Her name is Cynthia Scott. She's author of a book, Celebrating God, America's Founder. And to get us ready for something we'll celebrate in just a couple of weeks, our 250th birthday, our guest tonight, Christian and patriot Cynthia Scott. Cynthia, thanks for being with us.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you. Loved what you just said. Loved it.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. You know, I'd love to share sometime my story of what God did in my heart to put within me such a fire for revival in America. But I want to hear your story. How did God bring you to speak and write and message the way that you so effectively do for speaking up about the spiritual DNA of our country?
Oh, that goes back a while, Alex. I think it was back in 2008 when God laid it on my heart. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and that we needed as a nation to repent of our sins and to hold a solemn assembly. And nobody was really talking much about it then, but God made it very clear to me that we were a nation that needed to repent. And so I prayed about that. I worked towards that. As I studied revivals, I realized that repentance and prayer always preceded them. And my heart was for God to revive the church and to bring a spiritual awakening to America. And that's, you know, almost 20 years ago when you think about it, and things have actually changed a lot since then. One of the good things that has changed, in my opinion, is that this message that we, God's people, need to repent is growing. God is putting that in the hearts of more and more people. And about 6 years ago, God laid it on my heart to pray for the nation out of the history of the nation. I'd read some books about God's hand in our founding, and they were very inspirational. They were history books, but God was asking me to pray from that history and to remember his mighty acts in America. You know, the Bible says, remember the mighty acts of God, but we don't often think about remembering in terms of our own history. And so I did that. I began to write these prayers. We held them. We prayed them at congregational prayer meetings outside because it was COVID, and it was, and you know, the church was closed for a small, short period of time. And when I got to about the fourth or fifth prayer, I realized that God himself is our founder, and he Amen. Does not get the credit deserves. And perhaps that is our greatest national sin, because if we acknowledged him and gave him the credit, the glory, and the obedience really that he deserves, then perhaps we would not be in need of such repentance.
Indeed, indeed. Isn't it amazing that our founding father was the Heavenly Father? I mean, I love yes. George Washington, and by God's grace, it's been my privilege to teach political science, American history, written a number of books. I love George Washington, our first president, you know, so often called the Founding Father, but like you point out, the Heavenly Father was America's Founding Father.
Yes, I love Washington also, Alex, and I think part of the reason that I love him is because it's so evident to see God's hand on him.
Oh, yeah.
The hand, divine providence. And it's stirring, isn't it, when we see God move in any regard. But when we think about what God did through that man and others to bring about the greatest nation that the world has ever known, it is really astonishing.
Well, it really is. And the life of George Washington, how multiple times there were assassination attempts on his life, and just in the providence of God, he was spared. Cynthia, in your research, did you ever come across a book, The Faith of Our Founding Father, by an author named Janice T. Connell? Did you ever see that book?
No, I have not.
We interviewed her. This has been, I'm going to say 10 years ago, but out of Washington's prayer journals, and this is very important, like if anybody ever says to you listeners, well, you know, the founders were secularists or deists, you know, they weren't really Christians. Janice Connell, this author, she just took verbatim from Washington's own prayer journals the way that he would write morning and evening prayers. And verbiage like this, and then I want you to comment, George Washington would write, Heavenly Father, before whom I may appear only wrapped in the robes of righteousness of thy dear son Jesus, dot, dot, dot. That's how George Washington would write a prayer, you know, wrapped in the robes of righteousness of thy dear son Jesus. That doesn't sound like an atheist or agnostic, does it?
No, or even a deist. No, it does not. I mean, clearly Washington was a Christian.
Yeah,
and
amen.
For reasons I don't know, people wanted to write that out of our history. And it's really important that we go back and remember. And that sounds like a fascinating book. I will look for it. And these personal accounts are really what matter, right? We know what his heart was. We know that he encouraged his soldiers to go to services. We know he had a heart for their suffering and sought the Lord on behalf of them at Valley Forge. So many things. And we know he had a praying mother, right? And
yeah.
a praying wife. And the other thing that astonishes me, I know I keep using that word, but it's true, it's stunning. The last time that George Whitefield preached was 1770. That is just 6 short years before the Declaration of Independence. So our founding fathers, including Washington, were raised in this God consciousness coming out of the First Great Awakening. And, you know, many, what I've heard, and Alex, you may have heard the same thing, that, you know, many of these historians say, well, they don't refer to Christianity in the same terms that we do. No, but God, they had such a God consciousness that they would use terms like divine providence and the hand of God, meaning the very same things that we mean by, you know, God's activity in our midst. So it is wonderful to look back and revisit the truth about Washington and the truth about our founding.
You mentioned George Whitefield, and Whitefield is one of the just vitally important figures. And you also referenced the First Great Awakening, which is so important. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, folks, I'm kind of like a kid at Christmas because we're talking about God and country, and our guest is author and Christian patriotic figure, Cynthia Scott. I've got a book from about 100 years ago, Cynthia, called Revivals in the Midst of the Years. And it was talking about the First Great Awakening and then the things that contributed to the American Revolution and then other Great Awakenings. I've got a quote I want to share, but first I'm going to throw this out to you before our first break. What role did prayer play in the building up to the American Revolution, sustaining the Continental Army through the battle with Britain, the battle for our independence? Tell us and help us understand and appreciate the role of prayer in the birthing of this nation.
Well, I think it's really important to understand the role of prayer in the life of a Christian, because prayer is communion with the Father. Prayer is calling on the greatest power in the universe to come to our aid. And that's exactly what happened in this existential battle of the Revolutionary War. In fact, it happened 150 years prior, you know, going back to the time of the Pilgrims and the Puritans, when they were, you know, they left everything they knew in search of a land where they could worship God. I mean, imagine how they prayed on the Mayflower. I just think about the existential threats that they faced, which caused them to fall on their knees. It's just a part of who we are as Christians. And if we are Christians that don't pray, then we are missing. We are missing so much in terms of our relationship with God through Christ, and also calling on Him, as I said, the one for whom nothing is impossible, to come to our aid. So as I look back at that season of the revolution, of the creating of the greatest nation the world has ever known, we know that pastors encouraged their people to pray. We know that families prayed. We know that the leaders prayed. We know that the Continental Congress prayed, right? Amen. And the Constitutional Convention. They did not just pray in private. They prayed in public. And I think that's also something that is extremely important. And that's why I liked that Rededicate 250. I was thrilled that Trump called for the nation to be rededicated to God, because these public times of national prayer and repentance are critical to a nation.
Well, they really are. And that was May 16 and 17. I mean, think about it, folks. And I think about some of the Christian leaders like Franklin Graham and others that were there, rededicating ourselves, being on record to reaffirm our founding spiritual DNA. Now, we've got a brief break coming up, and folks, later on in the program, we're going to take questions. But Cynthia, do you have a website? Tell us about your book or books, where they can find them, and give your website before this first break, please.
Yes, the website is godourfounder.com. The book combines both history and prayer for the nation. So it doesn't just look back on God's hand in the nation, but it engages the reader as they read chapter by chapter with that same God who founded this nation to work in their lives and in the future of our nation.
Celebrating God, our founder. You know, I mentioned a book about revival that I've got, and folks, think about this, and then it maybe will give hope for the times in which we live. In 1741, there was a Presbyterian missionary that was in the colonies, and you know, we're talking 35 years before the Declaration, and it was a very rough time. A lot of violence, immorality, darkness. This particular missionary said, verily, as these people seem to care little for God, God seems to care little for them. The whole of this people, as I see it, said this Presbyterian missionary, this people is ripe either for a manifestation of God's grace or God's judgment. That's America 2026, I think. Either God's mercy or God's judgment. Stay tuned. The Hamilton Corner with Alex McFarland, our very special guest, Cynthia Scott, celebrating God, America's founder. Got a brief break, much more content, plus your calls and questions on this edition of the Hamilton Corner. Don't go away.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. In a perilous world, so many people are afraid. They're fearful. In a world where inner cities and many other communities are just simply dangerous places to be, we see the drug trafficking, human trafficking, muggings, murders, physical and sexual abuse. There is a place of safety in this world, and it's found in God. It's found in that secret place, that intimate relationship with God. No one can protect you like God can, but it's important for us to do our part to appropriate, to place ourselves in that secret place. Praying Psalm 91 every day is a very wise thing for all believers to do. No one can protect you like God can.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
The great reformer Martin Luther would love Cynthia Scott, because even during the Protestant Reformation, Luther was kind of a, you know, legend in his own lifetime. And someone once told Martin Luther, "You're the greatest reformer." And Martin Luther said, "No, the greatest reformer of all time would be he who sets the church a praying." And I apply that to Cynthia Scott because she has organized so many prayer groups and so many prayer initiatives on the part of America. And so she's with us now. Cynthia, thanks for being with us tonight. But most importantly, thanks for just having the courage and the faithfulness to tell our nation and individuals like myself things that we need to hear. Blessings on you, dear reformer.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, and your praise is a little high, but I will say that we underestimate the God to whom we pray. It's not, Alex, that prayer works. It's that God responds to the prayers of His people. And I can't stress that enough, because are we calling on Him for every single thing that we need? Remember, He is the greatest power in the universe. And I do hope, I mean, nothing thrills me more than to encourage people to cry out to Him individually and together. And it's not hard to do. It's a conversation. You know, I have a morning prayer group that the Lord laid it on my heart to pray every day for the nation. I didn't know I was going to do that. And so I got a Zoom link from the church. I gathered a dozen or so friends, and we have not missed a day, Alex. And we pray every single day, Christmas, New Year's, the weekends, and we just gather on Zoom. We're gathering daily in the temple. And it has been such a lifeline for those of us that have been on it. And we have seen so many prayers answered, both national prayers and personal prayers. I really want to encourage your listeners and viewers to just stop and think, how can I pray more? How can I become closer to God? Because it wasn't just those famous founders that we look back on that were responsible for the creation of this nation. Just think about how many hundreds of thousands of regular godly people were praying, were living obediently, and working towards freedom to bring forth this amazing nation. Every single person matters. Every single prayer matters. Yes. And it's we the people, we the church. And we have this amazing God who offers us, you know, anything you ask according to my will, I will do it. Where two or more agree, I am with you, I will do it. You know, this is the God that invites us to work with Him in this moment in time. And I would like to say, we are living in an astonishing moment in time.
Amen.
200 years of the greatest nation the world has ever known, the only constitution that has preserved freedom as long as ours has. And I believe that God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to say, think about this moment. Look to me at this moment. Don't just look to the past, but look to the future and see what I will do.
If God is the founder of America, and I agree with you, I believe He is, let's ask this question, the God of the Bible, the biblical God, why would he have raised up this nation? I have my own ideas, but Cynthia Scott, what do you say? Why did God initiate, sustain, birth, and bless America?
I think simply to expand the kingdom. You know, that was the heart of the Pilgrims and the Puritans when they came over. They saw America not just as a place where they could live and honor God in the way in which they lived according to his word, but where they could share the gospel, where Christ could be made known. And not just to those on this continent, but beyond this continent. So I like to say, I say it in my book, Jesus is in America's DNA. Mm-hmm. He is. That is a fact. The earliest settlers wanted a place where they could share the gospel, where people could live in freedom. And those principles were then distilled into our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. And it's amazing what happens when people live according to God. I'm not saying we're perfect. You know I'm not. I mean, we started this conversation by saying that we have fallen and we need to repent. But the ways of God are so good in leading a nation, in leading a people, giving freedom and opportunity. And so I believe it's for the expansion of the kingdom.
I do too, completely, 1,000%. God has blessed this nation. I mean, my goodness, such innovation, such accomplishment, such miraculous visitations from God. But I think it was for the Great Commission. I really do.
Yes, I.
So for those just tuning in, we're talking with Cynthia Scott, author, the Celebrate 250 America. She's calling us to come back to God, the original founder of the country. We will take questions in the third segment. I'm going to go ahead and give the number, but it'll be a few short minutes before we get to the phones. But the number, if you have a question or you want to call in, it's 888-589-8840. But right now, Cynthia, what do you say to people? And I hear this, and very often it's like pastors, and they'll say, well, you know, faith and religion have no place in government. And government, culture, politics, that's a separate lane. Faith is a personal matter. Keep Christianity and the government separate. How do you respond to that objection?
Well, we know, you know this well, Alex, that the separation of church and state was intended to prevent any governmental agency from presiding over the Church of Jesus Christ, right? Over God's church. And so that was really what they meant by separation of church and state. But it's actually silly to believe that anybody can go into any kind of an office or any kind of a calling without taking their belief system with them, regardless of what that belief system is. And our founders clearly felt and said that our form of government with all of its freedoms is suitable for only a moral and religious people. By religious, they meant Christian. That is the era in which they were raised. That's the religion to which they were referring. So we are to take our Christian belief system with us everywhere we go. And the principles of the Bible, which undergird our freedoms and our founding documents, are essential to preserving those freedoms. We are a Christian nation, not because some of us are Christian, but because our founding documents arose out of Christian principles. And if you try to remove those Christian principles from the documents, from our laws, we will lose our freedoms. Because God is the author of freedom. He's the only one that can give it. And if we eliminate God from the equation in America, we will lose our freedom.
I was going to ask that. What is the risk if we don't return and acknowledge, and frankly, not only acknowledge, but affirm the divine biblical DNA of our Constitution and culture? You know, what do we risk losing, Cynthia?
We risk losing our freedoms. We risk losing what this nation was created to be. And I would like to make a distinction for those of us who are joining us here today. And the freedoms, the freedom of religion, the freedom to practice the religion of your choice comes from God, right? Because God is the author of freedom. The principles that are embedded in our Constitution to maintain that freedom must be preserved. So even the atheist or someone who believes a different religion should be grateful that we are a Christian nation, because they are provided the freedom to believe the way they want to because of our founding documents being rooted in Scripture. So we have freedom in our nation, but we cannot ever lose our Christian roots.
And you know, I mean, we are a pluralistic culture in the sense, you know, I've had academics at universities and different ones say, well, you know, Christianity, this is not a theocracy. We're a pluralistic culture. Yeah, we are pluralistic in the sense somebody can believe whatever they want to believe. If someone opts to not believe in Jesus, I'm sorry for them, but that is their prerogative. But we are not pluralistic in the sense that any and every worldview could or should be allowed into the halls of government, leadership, or the classroom. And here's another thing that people need to understand, that when anyone migrates here, they don't just come in a vacuum or leave all their cultural assumptions at the border. Everybody has a worldview. And that's why it is so dangerous, folks. I got to tell you, it is so dangerous, the increasing numbers of Muslims that are running for and winning offices. More and more school board members are Islamic, more and more chiefs of police, persons in terms of leadership. And I had a four-hour conversation with the vice president of CARE, and this Islamic woman just very calmly told me, she said, America will become a caliphate. And she seemed to be confident that they were more committed to America than Christian Americans are committed to America. So we definitely need to pray. And Cynthia, if you would, talk to us about what could light a fire, a renewed fire of patriotism and, frankly, obedience in the hearts of those that really do understand and love America. What could reignite the passion for our country?
Well, that passion comes from the Holy Spirit, but he does work in different ways. And, you know, I wrote this book primarily so that God would get the credit. That's really my heart, that God would be honored. But secondarily, I believe that Christians and Americans need courage to stand up for our history, to stand up for the truth about our nation. We are entitled to be a Christian nation. Nobody is entitled to take that away from us. That's how we were founded. That's how our freedoms were created. And I believe that as people come to know the truth of our history, which has been written out of the history books, as you know, Alex, I believe that as they see, oh my goodness, God really was involved in this. You know, my book goes from the time of the Pilgrims, and it spans across the Revolution, the two Great Awakenings, and the Emancipation Proclamation, American prosperity and looking forward, because I want people to see the broad brushstroke of God across this nation. It wasn't just one or two incidents where God was involved. God has been involved in the ideas, even before America was America, in the hearts of men and women. He has been involved in creating us and sustaining us, and he is the answer to our future, period. And, you know, other nations are entitled to have their belief systems, to have their forms of government, and fine, nobody's arguing with that. We are entitled to ours, and Christians need to have courage to stand up and fight for that, because you are right. We have many threats, and if you look at other nations of the world, truthfully, without Christ, there's no freedom. Think about the other nations that have arisen under totalitarian regimes, whether they're, you know, religious or Marxist or secular. The people are oppressed because only the God of the Bible gives freedom. So I'm hoping that God will use this moment in history to spark a fire, that fire you're talking about, as people come to know the truth of our history that has sort of been hidden. I mean, I was surprised at many of the things I learned as I began the research for this book. I'm sure you have been, as you've done all the research and the books that you've done, God has been there all along. And I think Amen. That he is able to light that fire.
We've got a break coming up, and we are going to get to calls. I see people holding. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840, the American Family Radio Network. Our very special guest, author Cynthia Scott. Cynthia, in your research, did you ever come across a sociologist who taught at, I believe, Oxford, J.D. Unwin? Does that name ring a bell?
It does not.
I learned about him through a number of colleagues. Fascinating, but he studied like 80 of the world's preeminent civilizations throughout history. And he wrote a book called Sex and Culture. And Unwin documents basically that when there is a breakdown of morality and sex outside of marriage and promiscuity becomes prevalent, that it is without a doubt the culture will unravel. And here's what he said, that cultures, and this is profound, folks, they go through protective, productive, prosperous, promiscuous. Protective, fight, build your nation. Productive, build houses, businesses. But then hard work and self-control, deferred gratification, marriage, morality, fidelity. It builds prosperity. But he said during that third phase, protective, productive, prosperous, as generations come along that don't know what it took to give you what you've got, and it reminds me, in Israel, there arose a generation that knew not Joseph nor Joseph's God. But during the phase of promiscuity, that's the prosperity and then the forgetting of the spiritual and moral foundations, and then the fourth stage that is the destruction of a culture, promiscuous. And Unwin, he's been dead probably 80 to 100 years, but I mean, that could be America's timeline, couldn't it? The productive, protective, prosperous, promiscuous.
It could be if God does not intervene. If we do not cry out to him to intervene, it absolutely could be. I think that that's why God says in the word that when you've built your houses and you're living in your cities, don't forget me. He's telling us, do not forget him. It is not by our own hand that we've attained this wealth, right? He's been the one that's blessed us. And that's why it is so very important to remember. And to me, it's almost miraculous. You know, the prayers in my book sat in my laptop for 5 years before God opened a door to put them into this book. Just last May, it's been just, you know, 13 months. Yeah. And I think that's because we are living in this moment when people are looking back and there is an opportunity to remember.
Hold that thought. We've got a break. I'm so sorry. We've got a break. More with Cynthia Scott, your calls and more on this edition of the Hamilton Corner. Stay tuned.
Life can be hard, but we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I'm Christy Graham, host of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, and I want to encourage you in your walk with God. Listen each week as we go behind the scenes of our work around the world. You'll be challenged and encouraged in your own faith as you hear how God is actively changing lives. Join us for On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
UFOs and aliens. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. No doubt you've noticed how mainstream the subject of UFOs and aliens has become. Even our president is being asked what the government knows about UFOs. So are intelligent life forms visiting us from far-reaching places in the universe? If so, does it shake the Christian faith? The Bible says, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. These are not alternate life forms from other places in the universe, but there are demonic spirits whose aim is to deceive and destroy men. Hear our most recent program on UFOs and aliens at thechristianworldview.org and then join us this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to The Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're going to resume our conversation with Cynthia Scott in just a moment, but I want to talk to you about Saturday night, June 20th, which is just days away. Now, if you know much about what we do the show Exploring the Word, but when I'm not at the radio mic, I am on the road, and we've done citywide events and camps and conferences all over America, all 50 states. But this Saturday night, listen up, folks, and please pray. We're going to be back in North Myrtle Beach, the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater. Now, Myrtle Beach, if you know anything about the Mid-Atlantic region, and this absolutely relates to our conversation with Cynthia Scott, but Saturday night, June 20th, 7 o'clock, we've got a free event. I'll be speaking, and it's a revival meeting. What I'm going to do is tell you about what spiritual awakening is, revival, how you can take this back to your church or your community. You can be a carrier of revival, really. And we're going to talk about prayer, what it really means to repent and turn to God and experience the awakening that our nation needs. Now, for the last several years, if you listen to what we do, we're all over America. I'll be in Texas next month with a big citywide crusade. But let me tell you why Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach is the number one beach destination in America. It's probably the number one golf destination. There are restaurants, seafood. It's just wonderful. But there are all these music theaters, kind of like Branson, Missouri. And we began to rent theaters down there to, you know, people come on vacation. Why not come and learn about the Lord, learn about God's Word, learn how to defend the faith? And it was, of course, last year in front of several thousand people from 17 states that Charlie Kirk and I did a big event last August, and it was the last event he did in America before that tragic day in Utah. Well, this Saturday night, now later on in the summer, we'll have Eric Metaxas, we'll have other conferences. I'll tell you all about that. But folks, please pray this Saturday night, June 20th, a revival. It's part of our Revive US tour, and you can get complete information at my website, which is just my name, alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. But we'll keep you posted on that, and we need an awakening in our nation. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're talking with Cynthia Scott. We're also going to take some phone calls. The number, if you have a question, it's 888-589-8840. We begin in Louisiana with David. David, thanks for holding, and welcome to our conversation with Cynthia Scott. Hello, David. David, are you there? Hello, David. Okay, we're going to try to go to Melissa. Melissa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Thanks for holding.
Thank you for having me. I am hearing, you know, the words of truth, and it just esteems me, and it just encourages me to want to, you know, take time and follow through and have a deeper prayer life. I am very passionate about my country. I love my country. I just want to know, you know, and my heart's cry really is like when I hear the speakings and I really grow strong in my thoughts to want to be a part of the awakening, sort of the movement of, you know, bringing back our country to where it needs to be. I guess the question is, how do we really bring over the voice that the speaker is talking about? You know, when she says, hey, look, you know, we're going to have ourselves come back and fight for our country, because, you know, it's like we don't go into other countries and make their beliefs change on our account. We are pretty much very, you know, humble of a country. But, you know, I feel like, you know, my husband and I talk at the table every morning, and we're always thinking on, you know, I mean, because David didn't just stand down in the book of the Bible. He didn't just, you know, I know we can't think of, you know, violence or to that degree, but how is it that we can say we're going to make a change, we're going to have a prayer life? Yes, but how is it that we really can make a change to the words that she spoke that that certainly encourages me, but I want to know how?
Great question. Cynthia, what do you say?
Well, I think I would say start with prayer. And remember, prayer isn't just asking. The more important part of prayer is listening to what God is saying to you. And there are many ways to speak up. First of all, we can speak truth to our families, and we do it in love. We don't necessarily have to hit them over the head with it. We can get involved in civic organizations. We can vote. I think one of the most important things that we as Christians need to do is to get behind godly, or at least the closest to godly candidates that we can, and support them. I'm shocked by the number of people that are Christians that don't vote. I mean, all throughout the scriptures, we're told to be good stewards of everything. And yet somehow we've sort of let this idea of being a good steward of the nation lapse. So I think we just sort of start in our circle. Who is it that we know? What about the local school board? What about local races? We have, you know, we've got an election coming up in November. We just went through a primary season. Make a call and see how you can get involved. It's sometimes phone calls or door knocking. And I don't think we should underestimate the power that God brings as we pray. He's going to give you the ideas. You know, when I started praying for the nation, I did not have the idea of this book. You know, it's something that God does in the process, in the midst of our relationship. So I want to encourage you to continue to press into God. I would like to encourage you to get the book, because it's a way to pray. It is, you know, each chapter deals with a part of our history. And then it goes into prayer for the government. Well, first of all, repentance, and then Thanksgiving, then the government, our leaders, praying for our leaders, praying for the people, the culture, and the church in America, all rooted in scripture. There is scripture. Everything in the book is rooted in scripture, because apart from God's word, we don't know his will. And then there's a time to sit and listen to what God is saying to you. And that's what I want you to do, Melissa. I want you to sit and listen. And you're going to connect scriptures in your mind that you've read with things that are going on in your life or your community, and jot them down. And then at the very end of each chapter, there is a gentle call to action. It's a prod. It's just, you don't have to do what I'm suggesting, but listen to what God is calling you to do, because prayer and action go together. They did at the time of the revolution, and they do now. And, you know, when we think about what they were preaching at the time of the revolution, they were preaching freedom in Christ. But the pastors were taking that plumb line of scripture and comparing it to the days in which they lived. And they said, wait a second, we're not free because we are under the tyranny of this king, George. And we've got to get out from underneath him, because God has intended for us to be a free people. And so we need to hold up the scriptures next to what's happening in our world. And if we are in alignment with God's word, great, we continue. But if we are not seeing alignment with God's word, then that's a call to action right there to get involved. And, you know, join with some others to pray. I love corporate prayer. It's so powerful. And by corporate prayer, I mean 2 or 3 or 200 or 500, either with the church or with a small group. It is very encouraging to seek God and hear from him together.
Amen. Amen. We're going to circle back to that. Melissa, thanks for calling. Right now in Kentucky, Frank. Frank in Kentucky, thanks for holding.
Alex.
Hi. Yeah, welcome.
Hi, Alex. Alex, I have a complaint. My complaint is, I've been in Kentucky almost 25 years, and I've been out in the public like everybody else has, and I'm yet to see people come up to me and say, "Sir, do you know Jesus? And I've been in public places like everybody else goes, and yet I have seen three people come up to me like Walmart, you know, place like that, and say, "Do you know Jesus?"
You mean like witnessing for Christ?
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is, Alex, no one is, the Christians are not doing this, okay? Yeah. This has been going on a long time. So something's wrong with that. He tells us to go out in the world and take the gospel out and make disciples of people. So take the word out. And so the word is out there in the world.
Good point. Cynthia, as a Christian, we are to be a witness. And, you know, I was thinking about something. I believe it's Jeremiah 29:7 that God told Israel, seek the peace of the city where you are captives. And, you know, many ministers have kind of reprimanded me, and they'll say, well, you know, the world is waxing worse and worse. You know, my home is heaven. But even Israel, they were captives, and they were to be salt and light. And yes, for the Christian, heaven is our home, but America is where we live until we get there.
Right.
We're to be salt and light, aren't we?
We are. And, you know, it's interesting because I was talking to somebody recently. They were talking about censorship in the media. And after he spoke, I said, you know, our history has been censored. And I believe that, I even believe that we as Christians self-censor. And what I mean by that is we allow ourselves to be intimidated into not speaking about Jesus because other people tell us to. Why should we, living in a free nation, not speak about Jesus just like everybody else speaks about their belief system?
Amen.
I believe we are guilty of self-censoring, and we of all people have the good news. That's a scheme of the devil when you think about it. Of course he would want Christians to self-censor and be quiet, but that's not God's way. And, you know, there are many, many ways to speak about Jesus and, you know, asking somebody if you can pray for them. Then in the course of that conversation, sharing that you're praying to Jesus, you know, there are many ways to do it. But what we need to do is speak up. We cannot be afraid, Alex. We have the good news, not just for this nation, but for eternity. And, you know, we just need to speak it.
Yeah, we do. And folks, keep some gospel tracts. Look, if you write to the Billy Graham Ministry, they will send you his wonderful little booklet called Peace with God. And I often say to people, I'll say, hey, here's a little booklet with some Bible verses. It will be a great encouragement to you. May I give this to you? And don't forget, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. You'll be amazed. 999 people out of 1,000 will gratefully take it. But David in Louisiana. David, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Thanks for holding. What you got, David?
It's an honor to be on. Thank you very much. Hey, the reason I'm calling is I've come across a name it's fact or fiction. I don't know. It's during the time of the founding. Does the name Haman Solomon ring a bell?
Didn't he? He was a Polish immigrant who helped fund the Continental Congress, I think, didn't he? Or didn't he give some money to George Washington to help? It was either the American Revolution or the Continental Congress. Am I right on that?
That is exactly correct. And I came across this for the first time, and I was just astounded. Yes, he literally paid. He was a Polish Jew, and he was financially, and he literally paid for the Battle of Yorktown, which, you know, in the end, you know, it helped us win the Revolutionary War, you know. And,
David,
wow, I was just wondering if y'all had come across his name. He's remarkable.
David, thanks. We're almost out of time. I want to throw to Cynthia. You know, the Jewish influence in the American Revolution, which is a lovely story. And then our participation, Harry Truman, Winston Churchill, in the rebirth of Israel. America is a nation of destiny, isn't it, Cynthia?
Yes, we absolutely are a nation of destiny. We are part of God's story. I believe that every nation can be part of God's story. Obviously, God is no respecter of persons. But in America, he shaped a people that would shape the world and would spread the gospel. And we really are that light. We cannot let this light flicker out. We have got to step into this moment in history, and we've got to be strong in our faith. And yes, he used Jewish people as well as others, and Native Americans and Blacks and whites. I mean, God used so many people to bring about this nation, and he did do it for his glory. Mm-hmm. And I love that verse from 1 Samuel. It's a theme of the book, 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, this is God speaking, those who honor me, I will honor. And that really is the story of America.
We're almost out of time. Cynthia Scott, yes. Celebrating God, America's founder. Thanks, Cynthia, for being with us. Thanks to Bobby Rosa, Jeff McIntosh, all the crew. And thank you for listening. Hey, folks, remember, your life can be the influence that helps save our nation.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.